B-Pod Studios.
Beaker. This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
These guys,
oh my lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. No!
It's the
Bangle
Awards.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in this chest.
Oh! 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. See all the man meat on Twitch, twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray, Dan Libschatz, brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week. Download DraftKings now. Use code SPORTSHUB during sign-up and start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Joe Murray, Dan Libschatz are the Bankroll Boys. And Bankroll Boys, there is a big day today for legalized gambling in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. What are you hearing? Because every, month, 2 months or so, we get this is the one, this could be the thing that finally legalizes sports gambling in Massachusetts. But once again, I heard that, forget what you've heard, this really is the one. Mm. Is that BS?
So it's funny because Dan and I haven't talked about this yet. We sent the text to each other earlier this week, and it's so two-sided, man. I guess the biggest thing is that the House is debating this, which means that college sports will be involved.
Yeah, so that's one of the biggest changes, is that for a while that was off the table, and now you can bet on college sports outside of individual performance of the players. On top of that, basically everything else is on the table when it comes to the gambling. Also, I heard that the other thing of good news is that last time they got together, there were like 20 different bills, and it was basically just like, how do we get through all this? They've narrowed it down to two, which means it's basically ready to go. If they're ready for a vote, this is ready to go. Am I wrong in what I've read?
It's ready to go, but it's got to get signed. If it goes to debate today, it goes to the Senate.
And what does that mean?
That means Governor Baker has to approve it.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
So that is how the government works. That is your civics lesson today. But Dan, you don't sound optimistic.
I think I'm optimistic as long as Baker gets something in return. I mean, the whole thing that Joe and I have kind of been saying, and Baker wants something in return, because what he wants is to use legalized gambling to run on his next platform to be reelected. So if he's not going to be able to run on that coming up, then he wants something in return.
You think legalized gambling? I'm not saying this sarcastically. I mean, do you honestly think legalized gambling is a big enough issue that it could get somebody elected?
I think that there's literally people who would vote for someone purely for legalized gambling.
Oh, okay.
I think there's a lot of people.
Think about the houses, the casinos, these mobile platforms. So that's where it is. All the local casinos will be able to have legalized sports, but even the tracks.
So I know you've been talking about how, and Dan's been on top of this, about you believe that the reason they've been holding off is obviously everyone wants their finger in the pie. So what I've seen, just from what I've read, and you guys know a lot more about the percentages that are given up in other, like the essentially the VIG that they give up. I have seen that it's 12.5% if you do it in person and 15% for the app. Am I wrong in that? And how does that compare to other states who have sports gambling approved?
So the way that I was kind of talked about it, because I was concerned the way it was worded, which is different from other states when it originally came out, that's not the VIG. That is literally just the tax that these books are going to take on literally just their profit. So when the profit rolls out, when the numbers come out at the end of the month, that is the tax percentage that these books are going to pay based upon the bets that they take.
Okay, so that's not a hit on the consumer then. So
not a consumer.
Well, that's great. That's good news for us.
Yes and no. Okay, here's the problem. If the books are taking the hit at 12.5% to 15% and possibly 16%, how does that then affect the vig that they're going to give you? Instead of a 20-cent line, which would be minus 110 on both sides, for instance, are we going to see a minus 115 line, which is then a 30-cent line? It's minus 115 on both sides.
So it's going to affect the lines for the worse, is what you're saying.
Yes.
I am concerned, based upon other models around the country, that this will be an effing disaster if they don't fix the taxes.
Compare that to what's going on in New York. Are they having the same percentage? Because if it's comparative to the other states, then I would say, well, then that's kind of the way it should be. Because look at how successful it's been in New York. Is it, or is it more than what's going on in New
York? It's not that cut and dry, Rich, because the problem is that if the handle here compared to, you're talking about New York and New Jersey, because there's a big difference.
Let's go New Jersey, because that's the bigger one, right?
Okay, so New Jersey, the way that they did it is very similar, but the thing is that they were going to get both the New York and New Jersey handle, meaning they're going to get a ton of money and a ton of bets coming in because there's going to be both those states, people coming from everywhere to bet. In Massachusetts, they're already surrounded by legalization in New Hampshire, Connecticut now, and Rhode Island. So you're not getting any of that surrounding money. So the handle here is probably going to be significantly smaller than what it was in New Jersey. Hence why the people are comparing the tax percentages in New Jersey, Massachusetts. It's totally different. It's comparing apples and oranges because the handle here is going to be so much smaller to start off than it would be in New Jersey.
I just don't know if the average bettor, like a guy like me who just wants to go and gamble on a couple of games, is even going to really notice. And
that's fine. And for you, the $100 better, great. That's fine. For people who
for Danny Lifshatz over here.
For anyone who actually wants to make money you have to hit 53.4% on a minus 110 VIG to break even. That's the break even.
Right.
At minus 115, it's you can't
that's,
win.
That's
it's
what
impossible.
I was saying yesterday. Is that if you were then for you and I, Rich, it wouldn't matter because it's for fun, but if you're someone who has a bankroll and you're betting on a lot of stuff, the percentage on games you'd have to hit is impossible.
Okay, well then to that, Fred, I would say what percentage of bettors, like in Massachusetts, do you think are of Dan Lifshatz type of thing?
Not a lot.
I would say it's probably very low.
And then stay with your bookie.
The thing. Okay. So you mentioned the only percentage you left out was the 1% on local teams.
Right.
So that VIG is going to be high. What we mean by VIG is usually it's 110 to win $100.
Yeah.
These books are going to charge 150 for a Patriots minus -3. Yeah.
That's you know? Not good.
It's very hard to win money.
First off,
the thing is the state wants the big bettors because you need big money in order to generate revenue.
Right.
And to move lines too.
Why would I bet, you know, minus 150 when I can drive, you know, half an hour, 25 minutes to Rhode Island
or call Mr. Pickles
and get minus 110 or minus 115.
By the way, I found out who Mr. Pickles is.
Oh, really?
Huh.
You told me.
Huh.
Who's Mr. Pickles? What are you talking about?
I don't know who he is. He just told me who he was.
I don't even know. What is Mr. Pickles?
Mr. Pickles is the guy on the corner, you know?
He's your bookie.
Joe is in enough that I discovered who Mr. Pickles is. I learned enough about Joe's life that I know who Mr. Pickles is. Now I don't know what he looks like.
In my head, I imagine him as Pete Postlewaite from the town, the guy who worked at the flower shop.
Oh, all right.
Is that Mr. Pickles?
More like Fergie's bodyguard, I would say.
All right, I get that.
But listen, it's good news. I don't know, Dan. We really haven't talked about it. They keep throwing $75 million. I'm telling you guys, this number is like $150 million.
Yeah, $75 million is stupid low.
Listen,
I don't even know what you're talking about now.
No, like the amount of money they're projecting it to be like a $75 million like aid to the state.
No, it's gonna be way more than that.
Dude, I'm telling
it's
you.
It's gonna be way more than that.
I can tell you right now, like, I know that, like, so many books, like, lost money on, so many games that have happened just recently.
Yeah.
That, like, they're not even projecting it. This tax thing, I'm telling you, they could cash in. If this thing gets approved, the normal average bettor is gonna bet on it, and they're gonna be dumb about it. And that's what's gonna suck for me and Dan, is that you know, we're going to be like, yeah, bet this, but people are going to get them at these crazy odds that you're going to have to go chase some other book or call your local.
But what they also
They need you. It makes you more valuable. Please hold on.
But also what you have to also look into is the amount of revenue that will be generated from these places, advertising, the entertainment that goes along with the places that are around where you can sports gamble. There's a lot of money to be made ancillary to the gambling.
No question.
That you have to think about. And that makes me, along with what Dan is saying, why do people do anything? Well, if I have the power to pass something that's going to generate, like, over the course of a few years, literally $1 billion, well, I won something from that. Like, if I mean, why should I give you that? Why should all you guys make all this money? And, you know, not ill-gotten money. I'm talking about, you know, TV stations, radio stations. I'm talking about restaurants. I'm talking about corner stores. I'm talking about if I opened up a record store that was by one of those places. I'm talking about all that. But if all these people are going to make money out of it, it's what can I get? I would like something in return. I'm giving you $1 billion. Now, what's in it for me? And that is unfortunately...
But the big thing is you do want the House to pass this. The House in particular, because if it went through like the economic bill or something, no college sports, I'm telling you, there'd be a big waste of time and a loss of revenue.
I just read, I think it was a thing in the Globe that said that the there are lawmakers who have gone on record as saying that they are motivated to get this done before the closing of the session, which, when is that? That's like in a couple weeks, right? Yeah. Once again, I'm speaking out of my butt here, but
the way Washington works, when they've been open for business. Yeah.
Fat cats.
Yeah. The fat cats there over there on Capitol Hill. All right, well, listen, there's your lesson. Hopefully today the House passes it, however all this massive... old Massachusetts government starts working. We'll see how that all
I heard
goes.
Lift sheds might be outside of Baker's house.
There's another major problem with the bill. We don't have to get into it, but honestly, I'm extremely worried how the state is proposing this, and even if it does get passed, they're doing it in a way that is... I mean, first off, it's not going to be really true. I mean, at the end of the day, it could be beneficial to them, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be nearly as beneficial if they just figured their crap out and actually did it right. I mean, I know we live in the state where nothing can get done correctly and everyone seems to be an absolute idiot at all times, but it just feels like they should be able to get this right. Take the New Jersey model, lower the taxes a bit, and literally just, it's so easy. I don't know why they need to make it difficult on themselves, but oh well.
Well, they want more and more and more and more. It's just human nature. Money and power. That's what people want. And if you have a bunch of power to pass something again that is worth that much money, well, I'm in power and I want something. And it doesn't even have to be anything nefarious. It could just be, well, I want you to pass, you know, the bill that they named this street after Mr. Rogers or something. All right. Well, listen, I want you guys to stick around. We can briefly talk about these NBA future odds, but also we are nearing a very important date where Rich crawling is out of his skin. He's falling out of his skin over this thing. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to...
Listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
Tucker and Rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, boy. Doja Cat just came up, and Joe Murray has got ass fever.
No, that girl's got a... She make the rocket world go around, man.
Huh. You're a fan of the Fat Bottom Girls. stay in your own lane.
Doja Cat did like a MTV Music Awards or whatever. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Jesus. We got the Mike Brigade.
John's thing over here.
We got two sides of the same butt.
Man. I don't even know what Doja. Okay, because I've seen her before.
She looks like everyone else.
I guarantee you it's because he watched Dave and then he got
exactly.
Upset.
Exactly.
Well, I saw the Dave, but my problem is this new thing. And Dave's a great show, and that was a good episode. But my big thing is this women on the toilet thing that keeps happening. And it's happening on Dave a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of women on the toilet. And then I was watching Hacks, which is a good show. I will support Hacks. Jean Smart, she's the woman that was on Designing
They are
Women,
putting
right?
her in everything on HBO. Well, she's in that show. She was in that Mayor of Eastham. She was in Watchmen. She's everywhere.
She's great in this show. And I fully endorse it. But the woman who plays the young comedy writer, there's a scene where for no reason she's on the toilet. I don't know why. I don't even like it when dudes are on the toilet. Unless it's in Dumb and Dumber. Unless it's a gigantic diarrhea scene. I am not a fan of guys on the toilet. And women, I don't need to see you on the toilet. I don't call me puritanical, but I am not a fan. In fact, I think it should be illegal. I think the government should get involved.
Well, in your mind, Fred, when a woman walks into the bathroom, she just turns into smoke. And then when she walks back out, she just forms.
I will tell you something. My daughter will go upstairs to go to the bathroom.
Oh, really?
She's a nice, nice, pristine young lady.
Does that for you?
No. Just because she knows what's happening isn't the best. I'm just playing. But she does go upstairs.
Well, that's good.
All right. So here we go. We have Dan Lifshitz and Joe Murray in studio. And very quickly, the Nets are big favorites to win the NBA championship next year. Just quickly, is this something that you support?
Yes.
I'm a no. I wonder
why that is. Who do you like, Danny Lifshitz?
it's not because I don't think they're going to win. It's just because the price is so short.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
I mean, two and a half to one.
There's no point. Yeah,
you're waiting a year for a 2.5 to 1 ticket. Yeah. I mean, if this was, again, the Nets opened at 12-1 or 14-1 some places last year. Like, that's what we're taking a shot on. 2.5 to 1 is a silly, stupid price. I would. That's like, you know, laying like, you know, minus, you know, or plus 200 on the Patriots every
right,
year.
Right.
Like,
so where are we thinking if someone just is now missing the NBA and they want to just
Knicks.
Feel good about themselves?
Knicks plus 10,000.
Ew, no, hell no.
They have a lot of cap space.
Don't burn your money, man. Come on.
Well, at least Joe makes a statement, Dan. I mean, you're not a fan of
the Knicks
telling me who
plus 10,000, you can put $25 on. I don't know how much you'd win.
No. The in my opinion, the best value on the board is Miami at 40 or 45-1. That is a team that has two legitimate, very good pieces. Was in the NBA Finals 2 years ago. I know it was the bubble. Who cares? They beat your Boston Celtics. They beat the Celtics, you know.
Lose Duncan Robinson.
I mean, oh no. He's a nice player,
can't defend. All right. Well, he played on the team that you're talking about beating the Boston Celtics.
And now
he's
just getting into fights with Fred after his writing in The Athletic.
But the thing is
too much of a compliment to Jeff Howe.
Jeff
Howe is a foot shorter. And not in the same league as that Hulk.
Have you ever seen Jeff Howe and Duncan Robinson in the same room? I haven't.
I've seen Jeff Howe once, and I've never seen Duncan Robinson, so color me crazy.
No, Miami has a legitimate
Jeff
chance.
Howe, by the way, back on the show when this counts.
Yes.
If it's for all of you on Twitter that were so concerned, then I'm sure we're all real people. All right, so here's the deal. Here we are.
Where are the Celtics, by the way? Let me just ask that.
50-1. Don't take it.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
I will put $100 on it. Ring the bell. Wow. Ding, ding, ding.
Big spender. All right, so here we are. We are now approaching Nick's wedding. Joe was at a warm-up wedding last night. But
wedding on a Wednesday night?
It was a whole thing. So here's the deal, is that Nick is getting married. He's getting married is in basically where they film Ice Road Truckers. And that is beside the point. He is having his own bachelor party that is going to be going down in the anything goes city of Denver, Colorado, which we have told has blue laws that are out the wazoo. They're just, I mean, you can't drink anywhere. It's just a whole thing. And in fact, I was just remembering, you weren't here, Rich, but we had the author of this book that was really good called Running the Light. He's a comedian. Mm-hmm. And the part of the book is that the comedian who's the protagonist in the book wakes up in Denver and realizes he can't get a drink, so he has to start drinking mouthwash because there's no, because bars are not serving alcohol at like 10 in the morning, and he remembers the BS blue laws, which just occurred to me. So these blue laws are really bad on both ends. Wow. They screw you on both ends.
Because, so it's going to be party time for Nick, is what you're saying.
Because what I'm saying is if you guys all get up at like 9, 10 in the morning and you go out, I mean, enjoy your Sprites because, like, you're not going to be able, and your precious craft breweries will not be serving beer yet.
But then again, you know, the mushrooms, I think, are available at all times of the day, right?
Wow, great.
Isn't that what we're hearing?
So you can take mushrooms and flip out. So Nick apparently has no interest in these mushrooms. But anyway... So there is a local bachelor party. We received an invite, which does look like a scam email. It just has a link to it. Just has a link, like a gibberish link.
Right.
And you click on it, and it says dinner and drinks on September 18th. And there is no other information. Now, the last time we talked, Mark Gemelli was going to spearhead this event. It has been a week. Where do we stand?
I have a phone call with Mark Gemelli on the way home today.
Okay.
Okay.
But it sounds like we have a place to have dinner.
Okay.
Mark's handling everything, of course.
The dinner part of it?
Yes.
Oh, it's going to rule that.
There you go.
I'm telling you, is it going to be in like one of those backlit rooms that you walk by down an alleyway in the North End?
All right.
It's going to be my kitchen.
You're going to have to walk past three guys in folding chairs. You know,
well, you're going to have to walk by guys in folding chairs no matter what where you go in the North End.
You're going to interrupt somebody's card game in order to sit in the back. And
if you live in an Italian neighborhood and you reach a certain age, there is a rule that you must sit in a folding chair at least 2 hours a day outside.
It's true. Doesn't matter what the view is,
stare at the blue light.
Yep. That's right.
There is a rule that is your backyard or your front yard. Is you are just sitting out on the street in a folding chair, enjoying life as it passes you by.
I feel like Mark Gemelli is the perfect front to be like a bookie. Like, you know, or like a chicken handle.
He's got the hat.
Joe's getting into the bookie game immediately since Massachusetts gambling's not going
to
be
great. Oh, my God. He could be such a front. He'll talk to everybody, pass out meatballs. Really, he's got money inside it.
The slips in the meatball.
All right. So you're talking to Mark Gemelli today.
Yes.
He has got the restaurant. So here we go.
Okay. Yeah. But the question is that does he know how many people are going?
So we the invite's out. So everybody, I believe, on the sports has been invited.
Everybody, air personalities.
Nick gave me a list.
Tim McCown.
I sent them an invite.
Matt McCarthy.
I know you get him confused with Sean Silver in there. It's Matt McCarthy that you're thinking of.
The stupid bachelor party. So you guys are, so everyone is invited?
Yeah, the whole afternoon show.
Not on the same Evite, though.
Yeah, it's on the same Evite. I don't know what the guys just didn't accept it yet.
Wait, so the whole afternoon show, the midday show, is an Adam Jones and...
I told Beetle, I told Zoe, Hardy, Tom.
You told her, or you sent them an Evite?
I sent them the Evite.
But the Evite doesn't have
them. It doesn't have them on there.
But it also doesn't have them on there. So I don't know if you sent them the Evite. Did you send them a different Evite?
I sent them
the Evite. Because I'm looking, and it looks like
I'm looking at it, too. I don't see the mother.
Could not be going any worse.
You're the one that sent the Evite.
I don't know how you could do any worse than this.
Maybe the reason I never responded is because you didn't actually do it right. Because I'm looking, you're looking at your own Evite and seeing they're not on there.
All I know is I responded yes. That's all I know, and then I'm just going
to
wait.
Do you need me to do this for you, Joe? I can do it if you want.
That's just what we need, a third person stepping in to do all of this.
I'm actually technologically sound, so we can do this.
Okay, fair enough.
You will be able to get people to commit to something where they know what's going on.
By the way, that's also a good point.
I will fully admit that this whole Evite, that's not my thing. Like, I just wanted to date. Yeah, you, and I wanted to let you guys know a date. You have not, I did my job.
You have not invited them, Joe, by the way. We're looking at them right now. You have not invited any of them.
I know.
None of them.
I've invited them.
All right. Well, that's okay. The wrong thing.
Okay. So you invited, quote unquote, everyone at the station.
We think there's going to be 15 people.
Okay. But is it just the on-air personalities that you...
There's a couple of weekend guys, a couple of producers.
Okay.
So you invite Matt McCarthy? Is he invited?
I don't know. It's whoever Nick wants. Okay, it's thumbs up.
Nick says thumbs up.
Right,
okay.
Matt's in there.
Do you know Matt McCarthy? How many times have you met him?
I don't know. I'll put Nick up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I've known him. Yes, I know him. Yes, I
do. How many times have you met him?
How many times have I met him? Like
that's such a brilliant stall tactic. You should be a lawyer. Repeat the question back to me. How many times have you met him?
A bunch of times.
Where?
Here.
When?
Oh, I don't know.
When would you two cross paths?
They've done weekend stuff together.
Yeah.
Yeah. He used to. Are you still producing the Bankroll Boys? Or
no, I'm not.
Okay. No, it's stuck.
Do you work weekends, Nick?
No, during the fantasy football show, yes.
He could cross over after that, maybe.
Yeah.
Was he on the fantasy football show?
No.
You would do the shift after it, though, right?
Sometimes, yes. Okay.
So you've run into him, for you would say hello?
Yes, sure, yes.
Have you had a conversation with him ever?
Yes, plenty of conversations.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He's invited?
I was about to ask you if you heard back. He's not invited. Nobody got the invite.
Thumbs up.
He's invited everyone to his wedding that has ever he's ever seen even from afar.
It's going to be our show in Sarge.
Sarge, yeah. Sarge can't come.
Oh, I'm not going.
He said he might meet us later.
He's going to meet us later? What, is he going to drive 3 hours to hang out?
That's the ultimate Sarge big time.
I'd love to show up once everything's already been paid for at the dinner. Once everyone's already put their money in the hat, I'd sure love to show up.
Sarge's whole air of mystery is not something that's exciting to me, so he can have that. All right, so... So dinner, and then so you're going to talk to Mark Jamelli about maybe what happens after dinner.
Yep, and Rich might be involved in that.
Yeah, just paying for transportation. But my whole thing is that I offered we can get a bus, and I will pay for that. Okay. I'll pay for the transportation.
Well,
where
are we going?
That's the question.
Well, when you get a bus for something like this, you just rent it for the night, and he'll take you where you want to go.
As long as it's within a radius, they got to figure out where they want to go.
Yeah, so that's all them. But you tell me once it's all set what time it all starts, and that's the one thing that I will do is I will whatever get you the money for the bus. Tell me how much it is, or if you want me to book the bus, I'll do it.
The bus thing is a good idea because when there's no plan, that's going to be even funnier. When we're just driving around Boston in traffic in a bus,
we got a couple of plans.
I do need to know how many people are going though.
You
Joe.
Need to know a problem.
So send that e-vite size of the bus. You see,
I will forward it.
No, he needs to know an approximate number, but I mean, he doesn't need to know for a head count. He needs to know an approximate number. Right, exactly.
Are we looking at 15 or are we looking at 30 to 40? I don't know.
I think 15 to 20.
Yeah, because the dinner, getting dinner for 30 people, unless it's, then you're really.
Some people might do dinner.
We already have like 10 going.
Yeah, but you can sit 10 at a table. But 30 is, they're not going to be able to sit.
You got to rent out a whole private function.
Don't you worry about Mark Jamelli. He just said he's got a surprise.
Okay.
Just texted.
All right. Well, you two work it out. This should be interesting and very funny. We're on a road to nowhere in a bus.
Come on. Tell me you don't want to be a part of this, though.
I'm going. I told you I'm going. I'm going to this.
You want to help me pick the type of bus we get?
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing I'm most excited about. I'm getting all class.
All the way.
Oh, God.
Because if Rich and I were doing it, there would be the bus would be its own entertainment in some ways too. Mm-hmm. But you know, we're not doing it.
Can you just make sure that Joe and I can fit on whatever?
If
you
Rich,
I can fit in the bathroom, please.
If Rich and I were doing it, you wouldn't want to leave the bus. But you know, that's just us. But I'm too old and too out of it.
You might not want to leave the bus when you see the super cool one that I'm going to get for us.
Oh, yeah, because all the party buses are super cool. But, yeah, we'll get one.
Ah, play old porn in them. Harry Reams themes.
All right, well, thank you. Everyone listen to the Bankroll Boys, 7 to 9 on Saturday. I'll be driving to the airport with the Bankroll Boys pumping on Saturday, and then you will able to hear Joe throughout the weekend.
I'm here tomorrow, I believe.
And you're here tomorrow for me. Mm-hmm. I have a very rare day off, and then you will... I have a planned day off tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. I don't need your frantic Twitters telling me that I died or something. All right, there you go. So, Joe's in tomorrow. Listen to the Over Under 98.5 podcast. It's available at 98.5thesportshub.com. We'll return here to the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now. It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. All right. Tom Brady, he's out. He wants his name. He's endorsing Subway, even though he doesn't eat Subway. Which I think is a weird angle if you're food, but nonetheless, it's there.
Yeah. It's a funny commercial.
Yeah, but you're trying to sell food. Like, you could give comedians and just go, hey, make commercials for products, and they could make the funniest commercials in the world. Doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you're going to... I mean, some of the most effective commercials aren't funny at all.
Well, see, there's a reverse thing that happens with me, and that is whenever there is a story about a fast food restaurant where something gross is discovered, I immediately get hungry for it.
The only thing that has stopped me with Subway, which I still eat a lot, is they did a, during the pandemic, they did a free, Oh Hello, Nick Kroll, John Mulaney podcast, and they did fake sponsorships. And one of the episodes was Subway, and he just said one thing. He's like, if you like really wet meat, like, and then I was like, oh. So I have not had cold cuts from there since then.
Well, I remember when the whole thing happened with BC and Chipotle, and it was a big national thing for a while.
Yeah, with the diarrhea.
Yeah. I remember that for a couple of months, I was one of the only people who was eating there. I would get there when they would open. It was me and Danny Ainge.
Right.
I was forever faithful and true, and I would just show up, and it was very, very low there for a while. But for some reason, when there's bad news about a fast food restaurant, it makes me hungry for it. Mm-hmm. So I guess I wouldn't say that the Tom Brady thing is bad news, but it's definitely odd that you have someone who basically will come right out and say, I'm not eating this, doing a commercial for your product. It doesn't affect me at all. I'll still go there. And these people are talking about it.
All right, Rich, but Brady is back. He's got more to say.
Yes, he is. And guess who he's with?
I know Tom.
No! Right.
Oprah knows Tom.
Nice!
Mm-hmm. Stedman knows Tom.
He does.
And two of them. Oprah knows my wife. Mm-hmm. We're all friends.
Yep.
So why not have a dinner? That's what that was.
Two of them flew back first class from Montana together for this?
Sure. Well, this I think might have been recorded in Montana, and the only reason I would assume so is that they're in front of a fireplace when they're recording this, which is really in his mind.
During the summer?
Yeah. Well,
what the hell is that?
In Jim Gray's mind, that's where they always are when he's interviewing them, in front of a nice
fireplace.
Here's
a bearskin rug, a bottle of Aste Spumante. Why not do it?
The video that came out when Tom Brady was throwing passes to those little kids, and you had...
Throw, Tommy.
He had to get inside. He had to show the world that he was there.
Yeah,
he's
Tommy.
The best.
Yeah. Whatever you need, Tommy.
But Jim Gray, the human barnacle, he ended up talking to Tom Brady about the comment he made on The Shop. you know, the one where it's just a bunch of normal guys going to the barbershop like they normally do, like
Tom Brady. Every 40-something-year-old massive multimillionaire white guy is at the barbershop constantly.
Sure. And he asked about the comment that he made about how, you know, teams passed on him and he forever holds them, you know, as motivation. So let's take a listen to the interviewer extreme.
Okay, now what? Where did you find this? What? Where was this released?
So it was released online, but I think it was for like Sirius. I think it was an interview that he did for one of the sports things on Sirius.
So Jim Gray now is just basically freelancing Tom Brady interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So his job now.
It sounds like it. Yep.
Jim Gray, who once was employed by, you know, a major network to be their lead sports interviewer, is now in the world of freelancing, just, you know, doing anything he can to hold on to relationships so he can freelance these interviews.
He's in the business. He's in the Tom Brady business.
Exactly. Well, what a business to be in. What a life he's made for himself. All right, here we go.
A couple weeks ago, you were on HBO. Looked like you had some fun.
And what a professional setup he's got there, too. I like the
put the microphone
the
all the way on the other side of the room.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear him, and I just want to kick it. You don't understand what his face looked like when he was talking to me like that. Like he was like on another, like he was going to beat me up, which is ludicrous.
Sorry, well, it was, oh, Jesus, Jim, just go. Like do whatever you have to do.
Like he was going to beat me up. Good luck to you. I'm going to get these guys.
A couple weeks ago, you were on HBO. Looked like you had some fun on the shop.
Oh, shut up, dick.
Ask the question.
Like, here I come. Dude, you're like butt buddies with this guy. Like, what are we? Like, stop the charade.
A couple weeks ago, you're on the shop. Look like you had some fun. Blech.
Like, stop this like nonsense. That this is all not been all planned out in to the letter.
Throw Tommy.
It looks like you had some fun.
Yeah. And supporting a friend, LeBron, and you, Maverick, you kind of went after a team out there who you felt disrespected you. How did you use that as motivation?
You know, I think when again, generic comments and so forth, and there's a lot of teams that I thought would have been more.
Well done, Jim. You got him to say to start this with generic comments. So that's, everyone listen up. He's got a generic comment. Everyone listen. Jim's got him. He's really cornered him now. He's announcing he's about to make a generic, boring comment. Jim, let me just say before we start this is going to be a bunch of pablum and nonsense.
Yeah.
Yep. Eat it with a spoon.
Hope you like innocuous things. Because this is going to be loaded with
this. This is going to play on Mad Dog Radio at 1 a.m. on a Tuesday.
There's a lot of teams that I thought would have been more interested in free agency, but I had never been a free agent. And you go through free agency, and then you realize, wow, there really does need to be a unique time, you know, for us to, you know, come together as a team in free agency. So, yeah, there were certain teams that I thought, okay, yeah, they probably need a quarterback, and you know, in the end, they didn't think they did. So that ended up being motivation just because I think it stoked kind of how I felt coming out in the draft where, you know, you get overlooked by every team six times. That motivates you because you want to prove them all wrong. And then, you know, for different reasons, you compete and you want to prove them wrong over the course of your career. But then, okay, here's another opportunity for, in my view, for teams to figure it out. You know, you have an opportunity to get someone, you know, that has, you know, the kind of experience that I've had and what I thought I can bring to a team. And in the end, there's no better place for me to go than where I actually went was the Bucks. And
but you've caused a lot of intrigue with this and everything.
Let me off your farts.
A lot of intrigue. Well, can I lick the rim of that glass? Tom, don't flush.
Oh.
Now, you've caused a lot of intrigue. Yes, I can't stand it. Who didn't want Tom Brady that could have used a quarterback? Oh, my mind reels. I can't figure it out. I can't put two and two together. Jim, let's get to the bottom of it because he's going to list them right here. He's going to tell them the teams. Jim has done it. I have to put all my hatred of him aside. And hatred, it is hatred. I have to put my hatred of Jim Gray aside. Mm-hmm. And because now he's going to crack the code. Now here we are. Who are the teams, Tom? Let's go. This is an interview. Why are you doing it? Here we are.
But you've caused a lot of intrigue with this, and everybody's guessing. Do you care to expose who it was you were talking about?
The team? No, because there's private things for me that are going to remain, motivational for me. So they know who they are. I mean, they know, that the teams.
You think
know,
they know?
Yeah, the teams know who were probably interested and.
No, Jim, they don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. They don't know teams that passed on John Brady. They're completely oblivious to it.
Right. Hang on. We had discussions with Tom Brady?
Yeah, like oh, wait a second. We could have had Tom Brady. Wait, what? Huh? Good job, Jim. This is really compelling stuff. This is interesting. Would you care to repeat what you said on another show? Okay, now you done it. You got a lot of people guessing. You want to tell me who they are? No. Okay. Hey, who wants to buy the interview?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, everyone's got a choice to choose. You know, I think what you realize is that there's not as many smart people as you think. You know, it's just the reality. I think it'd be a no-brainer if you said, you know, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you get a chance to have Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. You know, no thanks. We're good. You know,
I do like that. I do like that.
Well, he's
like,
right.
Like, right. That's the one thing out of this that I was like, all right.
He's right.
I do like that.
Well, he's right.
Yeah. He says,
but it's not even controversial. He's the best. He's the best quarterback of all time.
There's no question.
Is he the best football player of all time?
I know. That was wondering what the hesitation was for.
But Jerry Rice.
I mean, if you sit here and don't think that he is still completely BS at the Patriots,
He's BS. Sure. Yeah,
this
of course. But I knew it. Who didn't think he was mad at the Patriots?
Oh, well, there's a lot of people, Fred.
We'll find out.
Oh, nonsense. Nothing is coming out of this interview. Nothing. Nothing is coming out of it. Nothing. Nothing new.
Well, nothing out of Jim Gray.
No, nothing like out of Tom Brady.
Yeah, he straight up said, I'm as good as Michael Jordan. I'm as good as Wayne Gretzky.
Well, but everyone knew that already.
Yeah, but he said it makes it different.
Oh, okay. Please.
All right,
Rich, now we're really stretching.
Rich, Jim Gray handed Tom Brady a typewritten. He sent him an email with all the questions beforehand. He knew what was coming, and Gray knew what the answers are.
This isn't a Jim Gray thing. It's that Tom Brady, for a moment, just called himself... Like, for the first time, called himself the greatest in his sport.
Fine.
I think if he said anything else, even in Brady land, it would have been disingenuous.
But who cares? Yeah, so what? He's the greatest.
My mind, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, let me go show those teams what they're missing. And at the same time, let me go prove to the team that did bet on me and the team that really showed that they really wanted me and committed to me that I'm not going to let them down. And again, there's no better place that I could have picked than... You know, the Bucks organization and
he needed the motivation.
Bro, Tommy.
They've done John, how many documentaries where he's talked about his dumb motivation? I mean it works for him.
I can think of three or four off the top of my head.
So I have learned nothing. Absolutely nothing. You were on another show where you said that you were pissed about other teams passing on you. Yeah. I used it as motivation.
Repeat it. For me.
Verbatim repeat it. Now, a lot of them are not him. And then he says, I'm not going to tell you who the teams are. Fantastic job, Jim Gray. You're a real groundbreaking interviewer. This is fantastic. And by the way, your rapport with him is such that I just learned so much about him. I've learned nothing else. He's repeated
this. Oh, Jesus, Jim, just go. Do whatever you have.
55 billion documentaries about him with all his... motivation.
It was just the Brady Sixer just on the other night.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
So basically,
I get it.
Jim Gray is Tom Brady's PR guy.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
He's a hired PR guy.
That's correct.
Which I do not imagine is a lucrative position.
Oh.
That's what it'll
No.
I think that if you sell your soul like the way that Jim Gray did, it probably for a little bit pays well. But then at what price after it's all done and over?
I would imagine it does not pay well at all because I would imagine he would not, that he would just hire a PR firm and they would just give him a guy. This Jim Gray thing is, I think, Jim Gray's payment, Rich, is entree into the world of Tom Brady.
It's being able to be around as he throws passes to children.
I told you that I got that Gary Shandling book, and Gary Shandling had all those basketball games, and I opened up the centerfold of the book, and it's this big, all these people at Gary Shandling's home court, and there's stupid Jim Gray.
Throw, Tommy.
Yeah. No, I don't. Do I think Jim Gray's making $1 million doing this? No. No, absolutely, under no circumstances is he doing that. None.
Sad part is he used to ask difficult questions. He used to, people call it an ambush, but speaking to Pete Rose.
He was always terrible, and now he's even worse. No one liked him, John. He couldn't get.
That's true. No one liked
him. I know we have to break, but you remember the World Series where I think Brocious hit a game winner. I'm getting the player wrong, but it was the Yankees.
Yeah.
And he went to talk to him, and the guy's like, I'm not talking to you.
Was it after the Pete Rose incident, though?
Yeah.
Because I think that they kind of banned against him after that.
But the thing is...
That was Chad Curtis.
Is then he's useless. Then he's of no use to anybody. He handled himself terribly there. He wasn't being a ballsy reporter with Pete Rose. He was being a grandstanding jackass. The thing about what he did was not like the balls, like, wow, he really did it, because I'd give him credit for that. It was the absolute wrong time. He was he handled it so terribly that universally, even people who hate Pete Rose, and I think Pete Rose should be banned from baseball for the rest of his life, because you can't gamble on the game. It's the one thing you can't do. And universally, that was terrible. All right, we'll be right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.